of the line here. And there ain't enough money with all the bills going up, electricity and DSL, and we need to keep our equipment going. Everything's costing more now. So we need your donations, however large or small. Please donate today to Free Radio Santa Cruz, unlicensed community radio since 1995. We don't do pledge drives other than what I'm doing right now, and we're going to be doing more until we get some money. We don't do pledge drives, don't give shit away, we don't have fucking underwriters from, oil corporations or any shit like that. We do it ourselves, DIY radio, but it costs us money, and we survive by ourselves and by you, the listeners, the active listeners out there. You could be active by keeping this free radio on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by donating to Free Radio. If you could, you could visit our website at www.freakradio.org and PayPal there. It's very easy if you're savvy on the internet. Or you could snail mail to us in care of FRSC and mail to P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Caller, you're on the air.
Wow, Bob, I think that's quite a deal for the listeners' money, man. 4 years off of one pledge drive? You gotta get that from, NPR, man.
No shit.
They're gonna run it every year. They're gonna need millions and millions and millions of dollars. We ran 4 years off a few grand.
4 years off of, I don't know how, thanks to Utah. Thanks to Utah, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Getting together, Getting what's his name, that producer guy to get it done for us over at the Rio Theater.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to pull something like that off.
Devil Makes Three and Faith
Look
Patrick.
Look how much you get for your money, though, listeners. Look at 4 years.
4 years.
We haven't loved you people for anything for 4 years. You've been listening for free to Free Radio.
Free Radio.
4 years. I'm sure our listeners in 4 years have saved up what they would have given us in pledges, and they can send it now. Think of all the money they saved.
Yeah, if
new listeners, think of the money you saved.
If a couple listeners donated, $10 a month, three or four, that'd probably help us out. That would definitely help us keep afloat.
We gotta do more than that. I mean, we do the work and pay. We pay more than that. We're giving them a deal again. Look at that, $10, cheap again. This is a good dollar, good value for your money.
13 years unlicensed 13 years, DIY man. Radio, man.
On a shoestring fucking budget. Sometimes we didn't even have shoestring.
We're talking.
Sometimes we couldn't afford shoestring.
We're talking to Phil Free here. He does the Morning Thunder program on Mondays.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's right. Good show yesterday, and the Roller Girls show. The Roller Girls was the first one I've been to, and it blew me away.
Look how you're having fun.
Yes.
At one point, I thought you were getting blown away. I saw a roller girl fly out of control. And
I almost got hit.
Had just been standing.
I almost got hit several times.
Quite about. Where are you going to hear about that kind of stuff?
Not anywhere else.
Not anywhere. Well,
where are you going to get Democracy Now?
You got to listen to their crappy music, too, to hear about it.
Where are you going to get Democracy Now? Twice a fucking day.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, a service that will end within a month or two unless we get sufficient funding to continue. So keep that in mind. Boy, I hate to sound like the KPFAites and the other mega pseudo nonprofits, but nonetheless, hey, we need money. We're poor. Give us money, please. If you'd like to help out, we need your help. Phone number to leave messages at is 427-4523. The actual place to give money, you can do it online at freakradio.org. You can send in a check. Free Radio Santa Cruz, P.O. Box 7507, 95061. That's P.O. Box 7507, 95061. And there's been various proposals suggested. Uncle Dennis has a good suggestion of sending in a certain amount of money each month, and that helps. Think about what you're getting, whether you like it, and if you do, kick down. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Coming up next, some reports from yesterday's Drum Circle victory, and at 7 o'clock, Becky Johnson will be interviewing Simba Kenyatta, city council candidate, assuming they both show up. Stay tuned. That, of course, was the ancient sounds of Just Kiddin', the group that almost, in fact, maybe it did predate Free Radio itself. Had a couple of broadcasters, Skidmark Bob, Phil Free, other folks who were on the radio and helped put together the radio, as well as lots of other grassroots, bottom-up programs that lived for a while and then passed away, like Cop Watch and other groups. Some of us are still hanging on. HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is a group that I belong to. Meet every Wednesday at the county building in the basement at 9:30 in the morning. We're small, but mighty, or mighty small, as I always say. But the issues continue to remain, and the issues require addressing. That's one of the things I do on this show, concerned with finding, again, the rights that are being forgotten, lost, or trampled on here in Santa Cruz and in other cities as well, for that matter. But since I live here, that's where I'm engaged. So, if you want to get engaged, you can too, though probably not to me at this time. But you can get engaged in acting in actions that might actually help in this regard. Of course, we're in the middle of an election season. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to have special guest Simba Kenyatta. He won't talk to me, but he has agreed to talk to Becky Johnson. And who knows, maybe he'll loosen up and talk to me, too. You never can tell. But in any case, he'll talk to you, and this will be your chance to call in and ask at least one of the 10 shitty or city council candidates what's up, what programs he or she has, and why anybody should bother to even go to the polls to vote for these people, one way or the other. You'll have a chance to ask those questions and more, and to make your own positions clear as to what you think should be happening in the city that isn't, hopefully around civil rights issues, the reality of life on the streets, for those who are on the streets, and so forth. So, I'm going to begin with a few street interviews, kind of catching up on what's been happening in the last week. It starts a little bit before the Saturday, I should say the Wednesday drum circle yesterday, which was another victory. The drummers and their supporters came, saw the green mesh fence, took down the green mesh fence, and set up their drums and began to drum, which is pretty much what, well, drumming is what's happened there every Wednesday, so that's not really any news, but what's news is that the city's determination to stop that has been successfully, again, avoided, and a peaceful Drumming Circle restored by the action of the community. And for that, I thank the community. I thank the drummers. I suppose, in a way, I should thank the police, too, because they didn't show up. And in fact, when they did show up sort of incidentally in terms of a call about an injury, one man, Crow, apparently, by his account, was tripped into the fence and was injured there. And therefore, they called the ambulance and they called the police and so forth. I wasn't quite sure if it was guerrilla theater or real. I didn't see the whole thing. So who knows what actually went down. But fact of the matter is the police, when you'll hear actually on the tapes that we play, or that I'm hopefully playing today, if I can get through them, that police, at least one officer confided that they weren't going to be dealing with even complaints of, dare I say it, removing the sacred green mesh fence that the city so foolishly, obstructively, and provocatively puts up to shut off public spaces previously open to the community to socialize, play, serve, and eat food in, which the community was not prepared to tolerate. So the fences came down again. I think it was for the fourth successive week. I'm not quite sure how much more time the city is going to spend and energy putting up these stupid fences, which many find offensive. And anyway, so they came down. Let's hear some street interviews, and we'll get to the drum circle pretty quick, too. You can always call in with your thoughts, 427-3772. And remember, the issue here is not whether you like drumming or drum circles near the farmer's market or drum circles downtown, though I imagine for some that's an issue. I'm not a big fan of drumming, as I've said. But whether you believe that the city, without a public hearing, without any kind of public process, or perhaps even with a public process, should be empowered to shut down public spaces, essentially in what amounts to a culture war with a group of people because they want to run off the riffraff. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, using all kinds of excuses, needles, drugs, trampling the non-existent vegetation, excessive noise, for which I'm not aware that a ticket has been written in some time in that particular spot on a Wednesday afternoon during the drum circle. So one doesn't know where they're getting their complaints and figures from, and when Public Records Act requests are made, you get no response of any meaningful sort. So the issue is public assembly. It's not about drugs, drums, or doo-doo. It's about the right to be in a public place, to use the public spaces, and not to be preempted by special interest groups who have a conservative mentality, who somehow believe in driving away diversity from Santa Cruz unless it has money attached. And here are some street interviews.
Officer Burnham is taking a report, so looks pretty good.
And I want to say here that Officer Burnham was apparently taking a report about some stolen property that a homeless person reported, and he seemed to be doing a dutiful job. I don't know, you know, if he followed up on it or what the result was, but I'm glad to see that an officer responded to that concern and was doing something about it. And it's often said that I have only negative things to say about the Santa Cruz Police Department, and I do focus on the negative. It's true. That's what needs to be fixed. The positive also needs to be mentioned, because it's not like the police don't have a potentially useful function. It's just that so much of it gets diverted into the wrong areas, or at least those are the areas I'm concerned about. I'd like to see police return to policing and dealing with real crimes. That is, until the community can deal with these crimes and these kinds of problems themselves in a better way.
Hey, Donnie, you're...
I just heard him say that he came at the officer and told him that he was sleeping in the park. He was sleeping in the red church, and I guess he had his backpack, and he woke up, and it was gone. And that happened to me one time about 15 years ago. I'm sitting there on Pacific Avenue with a brand-new Ovation guitar. I wake up about 2 in the morning, and my guitar had been... They just picked it up right when I was sleeping. It was almost for a pillow that I was using for it. Maybe I didn't have my head underneath it, but I woke up and I was devastated. That was a beautiful guitar. I bought it in Tennessee. Anyway, yeah.
Thank you, Donnie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, it looks like all the foliage has been removed from the planter next to Pacific Trading Company. As I walk the streets, I'm also told, and as I think I observed earlier,
that the, actually I did observe it earlier, that all the green mesh fences around the trees and the parking lot number 4 where the drum circle drums are not up, nor are the posts up. So apparently, maybe that these fences are only put up for the express purpose of excluding people from the public space rather than for any kind of permanent protection of the trees. I suppose the one excuse would be that, well, there are more people on the day of the farmer's market. That's why mesh is put up around some of the fences traditionally in the parking lot adjacent to parking lot 4 where the farmer's market has its actual leased area. However, it does seem interesting that it was the police department that requested that the fences be put up. It seems to me like that's suspiciously indicative of an interest in dispersing people or keeping them away from those areas where they normally sit and drum and eat and chat and picnic. Oh, it's about 6 o'clock. I'm up here. Officer Albert and another officer are pulling away in a squad car, and here's another officer taking away someone. So what happened here, guys?
I have no idea. I just got here.
The SEAL,
undercover cop.
The SEAL guy got, he had a big Mickey can, and so they're going to put him in the cooler for about 5 hours.
Where's the rest of the deal, man?
So there's an undercover cop with a white hat? Or?
Yeah, I think, yeah, but no, they came up, and when they came up, they kind of knew what was going on.
You don't know that guy?
I can't see him in the car. The reflection's stopping
Looks like he just got out of jail. He's got tattoos and everything like that.
I've heard him described, you know, but
John, he goes out, barks like a seal, and he doesn't hurt anybody, you know? He looks, you know, like...
Were you here for the arrest yourself,
no,
Dave? Or?
I didn't see anything.
Looks like he's being taken away. Next to the violinist.
I want the beer.
Something gets struck.
And this happened, 3 or 4 days ago, maybe longer, at in front of Chianti's. And I'd heard earlier from Marilyn of Alfresco's that a guy was walking along the street like a seal. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means. Was he going, or was he did he have flippers? We talking about, you know, a thalidomide guy? I don't know what we're talking about. But apparently he was being followed by a bunch of other people who were imitating him in a kind of a theatrical procession, and apparently the police either didn't like that or else possibly there was some other real offense involved. So there's a little curio for you. If anybody has any word on the SEAL guy, please give a call, 427-3772, and you'll get my seal of approval.
And they got thrown out on the street. A vial of...
Oh, isn't that fucked up, man?
And it's police car stops. The passenger, the undercover officer, gets out from the passenger side, picks up the little vial, and returns to the car. Another case of another crime well solved here on downtown Santa Cruz.
It appears it was some kind of contraband drug that was being thrown away, which immediately might give all kinds of pause to people listening to say, oh, this is justifiable police action. But if you think about two or three more times, you realize if we're talking the drug war, it has nothing to do with justifiable police action, since use of drugs is an adult decision by adults. If they're engaging in criminal behavior after using drugs, that's another issue. But the actual use, possession, and sales of drugs to people over the age of 21 is obviously something that the city, the police department, the DA, the entire penal system should not be involved in. It's a huge expense. And it doesn't rehabilitate anybody, but just gives jobs to prison guards. I mean, how many thousands of times have I and others said this? Well, why bother to count?
Drug war, and the war against the unconventional continues. Thank you, Dave. And we leave the front of Chianti's, another victory for the police department. Well... It's almost midnight on September 27th, I'm sure the date. It's actually Friday night. It is the 27th. I'm walking down Pacific Avenue, seeing a lot of police cars rolling by. Officer Hoppy is riding his bike on the sidewalk. Of course, it's illegal, but he is a police officer, isn't he? And there's a long line for Pulp Fiction in front of the Del Mar. But a couple of folks are sitting, people of color actually, on the berm of the planter near the Del Mar. Officer Hoppy actually pedaled by on his bike on the sidewalk without stopping to ticket them, or to cite them, or to warn them, or to mention it in any way. So that's positive, I suppose. And there are a few regulars on the benches. There's the benign Brad sitting near the Pacific Trading Company. Lots of Spanish being spoken down here in front of Gala Cabana, Neary Business Center, and across from the Rittenhouse building. In fact, the last four or five groups of people, well, two or three groups of people that I've passed, groups of two and three have all been speaking Spanish, and they're all unrelated to each other. Only people who speak Spanish would like to be out at midnight. Come on, you honkies. But no street performer is out tonight that I've seen. Of course, we are talking midnight. Although a lot of people on the streets for this time of night, usually at 10 o'clock the streets are dead, but we are talking about students having returned, presumably. Lots, again, folks from, could be from Watsonville, places to the south, or from our local Spanish-speaking areas. There are such areas. Shops are mostly closed down, including cafes. I guess it's the bars that are still open. I see the bench where CJ usually parks his bedroll is empty. Now here's CJ on another bench near graphics. Excuse me. What you reading, CJ?
The Core
by yeah. Semper Fi. Cool. The Pacific Cookie Company is still open. There are a few fence sitters around the New Leaf Market area, mostly on the fence right adjacent to the street. So it's about 12:05. We have a police car parked wrong way on Pacific Avenue. Two police officers are here talking to the group in front of Cold Stone Creamery. Apparently investigating. So what's cooking here? Free Radio wants to know. What's happening?
Yeah, there was a fight. Two guys bumped into each other and they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So they started saying, what? And it never really happened. They were just going to fight, but no one ever did.
So it was a fight that never was.
Exactly.
And your name is?
Nancy.
Okay, Nancy, this is going on free radio, so watch out.
Thank you.
All right. Several squad cars have stopped, apparently, to investigate reports of a fight, but I see no harassment. I commend the officers involved. Look like Officer Forbes, but I'm not sure the other officer. But three squad cars, I beg your pardon. Where they start showing up in numbers, don't they? You see, count them, one, two, three squad cars. Or that's what I call over-policing.
Huh?
That's what I call over-policing. One, two, and there's a third squad car down there. Well, we're talking to a resident of the downtown. He's backing off. He's got a grin, but I don't think he wants to. Give me an alias and talk about the downtown. What do you want to call yourself there?
Fred.
And Fred, how long you lived in Santa Cruz?
About a year.
And you're downtown?
Yeah, that's where I live.
And are you often on the streets this late at night, 12:10, 12:15?
Yes, I am.
Do you feel safe on the streets with ragamuffins like these two leaning against the planter?
They seem more frightened of me than I am of them.
You have such a friendly smile. You look a little bit like Mike Rutkin.
Yeah, that's him. Well, who's that?
He's a council member, one of the oldest council members in town.
Oh, maybe that's why they're afraid of him.
He is. Although, very few people know what Rutkin looks like unless you follow politics. I mean, you know, unless unless you watch city council meetings.
Well, maybe just old white-bearded men, you know, who aren't.
But you have such a twinkle in your eye.
Is that right?
You look like you're pretty friendly.
I think I'm, you know, I have something up my sleeve.
Santa Claus taking a vacation for with a short haircut. So you've been here, you come out pretty regularly in the evenings.
Yeah, well, I live right here, and so I come out, I walk around.
Complaints about the musicians or drummers? Do you find it hard to go to sleep, or do you...
Yeah.
Are you...
There's a nightclub up the street, you know, Rosie
McCann.
Yeah.
And the Catalyst in the other direction.
Well, Catalyst doesn't make so much noise as Rosie McCann.
Really?
Yeah, that's... I probably live above the loudest place in Santa Cruz.
Ah. So you, sort of a test of steel for you, eh?
That's right. I'm from New York, so it feels like I'm in New York City on Sunday.
In downtown Manhattan.
Right.
I used to live in downtown Manhattan years ago. Well, in the 70s, early 70s.
Me too.
I was in one of these cheesy, you know, dipshit hotels on 43rd Street or something like that.
No, I was on 17th.
Oh, well, you have better accommodations, no?
I can do that. I don't know.
Oh, you're removing Arlene's stand here? All right. How was the movie? We're talking with a former Cooper House employee when there was a Cooper House. Your name?
My name is John Matthew Hosberg.
And John, you were a dishwasher back then.
Yes, I was a dishwasher at Jason's.
And Jason's was one of the places in the Cooper House.
Yes, it was a frequented bar and establishment.
Well, how has the city changed since then? What's your feeling about it?
Well, the magic is pretty much toast. The people are fair, but the magic is pretty much Pacific Garden Mall. When I was used to it, it no longer exists.
Pacific Police Mall, pretty much.
Well, it is.
I mean, I've noticed that tonight, a lot of squad cars. This is a car up there stopping, so I'm going to go check that out now. Any recent reports you want to quickly give me before I hustle off?
Well, I was accused of child abuse, and I was framed. And I really think that Santa Cruz would be better if it wasn't a police fucking brutality.
I think any place would be better without inappropriate behavior by the police, to say the least.
Yeah, I think I would have been a great father, however, but, you know.
I'm rolling, man. I want to catch these cops, so thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. We're talking with
John Matthew Hosberg.
Thank you, John.
And a couple things. I don't talk much on the air about, you know, pedophilia and the whole business of, I don't know, the 250, the 300 so-called registered sex offenders in the county of Santa Cruz. I leave that to the hysterical writers on the Santa Cruz Sentinel forum to go on about that. There was a deal about the Wham event, the Wham Fest, having a registered sex offender who was involved with the child care, as if that, you know, were the end of the world and everyone should now, you know, have nothing to do with Wham and start, you know, whip up the torches and the pitchforks and start running around the streets screaming. You know, I don't know what to do in terms of the issue of sex offenders. But sex offenders can be something as innocent as somebody having a relationship 2 years younger, if you're a girl who's 18 and a boy who's younger, or vice versa. And there's a lot of issues here as to whether people should be perpetually branded with this. And, you know, I'm frankly not really educated enough to discuss it, but I don't believe in diving into and flowing with the hysteria on that issue. And I thought I'd just mention it briefly because I will probably be discussing it in a future show for those who are interested. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norse. The name of the show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. And there is a financial crisis which is happening. You probably are hearing about it rather regularly if you are a listener to Free Radio. But, you know, it's real, and I'm supposed to ask you four or five times during my show for donations for money. I don't think I'm going to do that, but I'll certainly ask you at least once or twice to think about it, because if you have any money, some spare bucks, although that's getting increasingly unlikely, what with the economy going where it's at, but still, you probably want to hear what Free Radio has to say. It might be helpful, actually, in these times of, with all your stocks going down, you need to have, you know, the annual Free Radio Santa Cruz stock report. Or is it the every 10 years we do our annual or 10-yearly stock report? In any case, Free Radio Santa Cruz needs money, and I would suggest if you're interested in helping, you And you, if you want to keep hearing it, you should help. www.freakradio.org is a place to go. And you can also send money to the post office box, 7507 Santa Cruz 95061. And that's all my commercializing for the moment. You can also give a call to the show if you have any comments, 427-3772. That's the call-in number. In a half an hour, we should have Simba Kenyatta in the studio with Becky Johnson and possibly with Whitney Wild, who's been distributing flyers and raising consciousness at the drum circle and is a known activist in the community. So we'll see if she shows up as well. Back to the street interviews. And I think I'm going to take a little bit of a musical break here because the police investigation you would have heard had I not taken the musical break has to do with some kind of investigation of people who were you. They detained this guy to ask him, was he standing on the second floor of the parking garage? And there were about four or five cops there, all, you know, grilling this tall guy in front of Rosie McCann's, who eventually was released. And, you know, it's kind of boring. So we're gonna leave that one aside and catch a little of this.
Unless you're gonna go off and join the Teamsters, we gotta get this train loaded up and out of here by 8:45 tonight, and dispatch to have my ass.
There's a hobo getting on the train down there.
Are you shitting me? There's a hobo in my yard.
Yeah, let's go on, get up and catch a whoop ass on him now.
Oh, go on, get him, boys. Open up a whole six pack up on his ass. I allow the hobos in my yard. You know that. This train is bound for glory, man, and ain't no room in glory for no freeloader hobos. No sir.
Broken, hungry, spare change your food. Thank you. How's it going with that?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm eating okay today. Could be better. Could be worse. You know.
We're talking to
Mark.
All righty. Let me roll quickly. Any other exciting adventures, philosophical discoveries, spiritual notions?
Well, this where I'm sitting is the most legal place in Santa Cruz. They cannot fuck with me here. Cops, if they can only get me if there's people sitting too close to me, but that's it. Like, otherwise, I'm golden in this spot.
You are in front of the Del Mar Theater. That is until they decide to tell you that the overhang constitutes the area from which the 14 feet is measured. They tried that once with us, but it doesn't work. It's not accurate, so.
Yeah. Well, if they try that, that's going to be a bummer.
Well, hopefully they won't, and I won't suggest it.
All right. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. And thank you, Wheels.
Peace. And that was, I think that was, next to him was Wheels. Wheels is a guy in a wheelchair. There's a little guy in a wheelchair who's explained to me that the police don't arrest him because they don't have the facilities to deal with him in his wheelchair at the jail. But they did give him a ticket about 2 weeks ago for sitting in his wheelchair in the middle of the farmer's market, next to the farmer's market in parking lot number 4, where the drum circle is wont to play. This was the point which all the green mesh fences were still up, and he was the only person there except for me and two other officers. This was actually 3 weeks ago. This was, I believe, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he said he simply wanted to sit there. He wanted to sit in his wheelchair, and he was waiting for the drum circle, and why don't the police leave him alone? And they harassed him, and they gave him a ticket for violating, I think it was for violating the parking lot law. And it was, I got it on video, and who knows, we may be able to actually, you know, save that video and take a look at it later. But it's, you know, it's kind of tiresomely repetitious and hauntingly pathetic and stupidly costly for this kind of stuff to go on. And also, it is, of course, repressive. And that's even, I mean, I don't know which of those is worse, but it has all those things apply.
Yeah, here's a bit of a personal journal. It's about 10:15.
Sorry for the dead air, folks. Stay tuned. I like this one so much, I'm playing it again.
I think we should sleep on the mayor's lawn. I think we should sleep on the mayor's lawn. Build a big old campfire and sing the whole night long on the mayor's lawn. Well, maybe we should camp on the mayor's lawn. It's the only place left to sleep is the mayor's lawn. We'll urinate in the flower bed and dance the whole night long. And maybe in the morning the mayor will make us breakfast.
This is Skidmark Bob. I'm out here at the Food Not Bombs meal on Saturday. What's the date today? The 19th or 20th? December 20th.
Alice.
And I'm in, what's your name?
My last name is Welch, honey.
Ann?
Ann Welch.
And you're 79 years old?
Uh-huh.
And you're living on the street?
I'm living out the street right now.
And live calls take precedence. Besides, that is an ancient, ancient mid-90s Food Not Bombs interview. So let's get into the present and see who says what. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Is this Robert?
It is. It's really hard to hear you. I hear a lot of crackling there.
Is this Robert?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Is this Robert?
Yep.
This is Mary.
Hey, Mary, you got the crappiest phone in town.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to try it.
Go ahead.
Actually, my trailer got run over, and I told Officer McKenna, Officer 144, to take a police report. And he said that he called my number and blah, blah, and then he dismissed the case. Aren't they supposed to have it on record for a year?
So, Mary, you say your foot got run over?
No, my trailer.
Your trailer got run over. Who ran over your trailer? Was it you know, a civilian or a police officer?
It was a woman.
It was a woman. I assume a civilian woman.
Yes.
And you tried to make a complaint. Is that the deal?
Yes.
And the police don't know anything about the case?
No, I got her license plate number, and I also got the description of her, and it was a Tennessee's Diner, et cetera, but they said that they dismissed the case. What the heck is up with that? I thought they were supposed to do investigations for a year.
we got a problem, Mary. You know, the phone you're on is so bad that it's not even airworthy. I apologize, but the people out there cannot hear what you're saying. You got to get to a different phone. You can try again.
Well, this phone doesn't work?
No, it's distorted, and it's really hard to hear. But, you know, I appreciate you trying to call in. You might try calling the Huff line, 423-HUFF, and leaving a 2 or 3 minute account, and I'll try and play that. But, again, you might have the same problem with that phone. I don't know. Or maybe we could catch you at the drum circle or at the Huff meeting, which happens every Wednesday. I know it's kind of...
I don't want to go to the drum circle because I keep getting next to us at the drum circle.
Well, try to be a little more sober next time, Mary.
How can I be sober?
I don't know. I mean, my problem is getting drunk. Your problem is getting sober. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. Anyway, but call sober or drunk, get in touch, but get in touch when we can actually hear you, okay?
Okay, I love you.
Hey, thanks, Marie.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open, 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Let's again hear a little music while I try to get it all together here.
I'm taking the needle off of the wreck and shoving it into my arm. Wherever I feel life is coming on too strong. They left me in the clinic full of cynical and motherfucking bureaucrats. And they're the kind of dingbats are living on the tracks. But the tracks in my arm said it all depends on which side the tracks you're on. So telling me what to wear and telling me cut my hair and trying to convince me that they really, really care about my health and about my wealth. But still they built the stealth, cause everybody's just looking out for that. So then I ask him, can I have a clean needle? He say, hell no.
And in Santa Cruz you can get clean needles, so keep that in mind. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. We need to clean our bank account or else to clean out shop and leave the studio with you left with the Santa Cruz Sentinel and KUSP. Good luck. If you don't want that fate, you better send some bucks our way. Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz, 95061. That's 7507-95061. Or you can, do it online, freakradio.org. See, I'm pumping you for money. Consider yourself pumped. Now, we're actually going to get to the drum circle stuff that I promised 40 minutes ago. So here's a toast to you who are patient enough to wait. And again, at 7 o'clock, I'm expecting in the studio Becky Johnson, Simba Kenyatta, and who knows who else to give us all the update on why we should do something other than stay in bed on Election Day.
Well, it's about 3:25. I'm here at the Farmer's Market, next to the Farmer's Market, parking lot number 4, talking with
David Derrick
and
Ron O'Brien.
And David, you have a drum on your bike.
Two drums.
Two drums, actually.
Two
I
drums,
see another
yeah,
drum.
Two drums, yeah.
And yet, the drum circle area seems to be fenced off again with that green mesh fence.
Fenced off again. What happened? Are they still persisting in keeping the public from assembling peacefully?
I think they're just protecting tree rights. This is a new approach. See, they want the vegetation to have its full say, although they don't any other time of the week. It's kind of an interesting schedule of tree protection.
People, are they pesticide against vegetation? I mean, can
they're
people
not
kill
as a pest,
trees?
Yeah.
Can people can actually kill trees? Trees are healthy trees.
The drums are, the question is, what effect does drum music have on the tree?
The sound of the drum kills the tree. I don't think this, no, I think it helps the tree. The sound of the drum.
Well, I see some people are beginning to gather here, at least.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're coming. We're on our way.
And who knows? I mean, we got the usual reprobates wandering in
here. It'd be
great to have your photograph taken inside the fence and growling at the cameraman as if you were a wild animal. Because that's how we're being treated.
You could climb over that fence right now. I don't think anything legal about climbing over a fence. I think that's legal. Here's some people who have written some chalk on the sidewalk.
Yeah, just like we're going to poop on the trees or something,
Yeah. And what is your name, sir?
I'm Sean Monahan, and I think that the idea of making music illegal is really fascist and totalitarian in thinking. That's, it's really a bullshit idea in the first place. What's wrong with some, if you don't like their music, you don't have to listen to it, but the drumming is pretty good, and they get decent musicians in here and dancers, and you know, I would like to legalize joy. Would you folks vote, please vote for to legalize joy?
I don't think it's on the ballot, unfortunately, but thank you, John.
Thanks, and I'd like to legalize fun.
Fun? No, yeah, no. More, that, the constitutional amendment is required.
Well, that's right. It would require ratification by the 50 states, yes.
Thank you. We have the sound testers arrived. Your name, sir?
Yeah, my name's Crow. And we're testing the patience of people's asshole attitudes.
Indeed. You mean, be more specific, please.
Well, I'm a lousy drummer, and it really pisses me off that people who think lousy drummers can't drum in open spaces shouldn't be allowed to drum.
Well, this isn't an open space anymore. This is a closed space. That's a fenced-off area. I hope you're respecting the...
Well, I am. I'm respectable, you know.
You are respectable, you know? Certainly.
But, you know, I mean, you know... Lots of things can happen. I mean, you know, fuck.
Well,
know,
somebody can go into a coma and fall into the face.
Could come down is always possible. You never can tell.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Oh, my name's Lisa.
Lisa, what's your sense of the fenced off here? You see, they're protecting the very lush vegetation that is happening here.
I'm actually a reporter on assignment also, so I think I probably shouldn't comment.
Oh, ho. So you are wearing two hats. What paper are you reporting for?
Well, I'm a journalism student at UC Santa Cruz.
You can wear two hats. You know, I mean, it depends on what you... Oh, go ahead. You can talk. You're going to go talk to Crow. Well, where is your article going to appear?
I don't know. It's just a school assignment.
Put it up on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Yeah, it's where a lot of the articles go. I'll give you a...
That's what you're reporting for?
Yes, a lot of us post there.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's about 3:30, and we don't see any drummers yet. Actually, one drummer, David, on a bike. And then, of course, Whitney here has arrived with some posters and flyers.
I'm going to post them to see if I can find the owner.
I lost flyers. You have pictures of Cynthia Matthews and Mayor Coonerty with... mustaches that look remarkably like that of the...
Cynthia doesn't have a mustache.
Cynthia doesn't. Cynthia
She's got the ball in her mouth, you know.
She has a ball in her mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the civil rights with a line through them, yeah. Well,
yeah, the international no civil rights sign, yeah.
You can't expect the entire city council to respect civil rights. I mean, it would be boring, right?
Well, that would be democratic.
Oh, please.
Silly me.
Let me interview you. What's your name, sir?
KC.
KC, what is the name of this pooch you have on a leash?
Yes, Nina.
And what brings you to this drum circle, or I should say, barren parking lot fenced off with little mesh around the trees? It is often the place where the drum circle is held.
Well, I was going to get some food and then come over and drum, but then I thought about it. I was like, I don't know if I want to get anything in the farmer's market now. I pretty much came down here so I could play some drums, but it just doesn't seem worth it anymore.
Well, remember, the afternoon is young.
Yeah, see, I think I just might be one of them people that tears down that fence once it starts happening.
Uh-huh. Well, I haven't got the force to stop you, or the will, for that matter. Thank you. Here's a drummer. What's your name, drummer?
Nilda.
And why aren't you over there drumming? Aren't you sitting in the tree drumming?
Right.
You're sitting here right behind the More Free Parking One Block Away sign on the edge of the farmer's market.
Yeah, because my son is a little kid, and he might run around, and it's dangerous.
How old is your son?
21.
There he goes. Like, come back. Let's...
Come out, drum.
Here.
And I believe this woman was the first woman to actually begin drumming in the space. She sat next to the fence, I believe, while it was still up, although it shortly came down afterward. Came down somewhat late. The drummers didn't show up until about 4:15 or so. Usually they show up at 3:30, and it was never quite clear whether this was because they were waiting for the trash orchestra to come marching in, or the demolition crew to demolish the fence first, or maybe they had a pressing engagement at some club. I don't know what the deal was, but maybe they're kind of a casual group. It's not clear what the drummers were doing, but they did show up. And they eventually did play, but as we're listening to it now, the green mesh fence around the central pair of trees, which is where the drummers usually drum on Wednesdays, and this is an area that is not blocked off at all during any other time. And it's only during this time it's blocked off. I think the pretext they use is protecting the vegetation, but since there's absolutely no vegetation other than the trees, and then since they jam... metal rods into the ground in which to put up this mesh, which is, I'm told, not the best thing to do for this particular kind of tree. It's a maple tree, I think. I'm not sure. But it's an interesting situation that actually I think a lot of people saw through, and they realized that, you know, this is an attempt to disperse a public assembly, and we're the public, and we're going to assemble, you know, so learn to live with it.
So it's about 3:15, and video journalism has invaded the area. A video journalist is actually videoing what appears to be the removal of the fence here, which is shocking but true. The fencing seems to have come down, but for some reason my video camera just doesn't work at the moment. I can't understand why that would be.
This kind of stuff.
Okay. We have a man who's just advised us. He's concerned about the farmer's market being identified with this. You know, he's afraid to talk on tape. Well, I know you talked to me, and I played it. Why are you walking away now?
You filmed that over there.
Why?
You showed it on TV, but the face.
I did. I already did.
There's a bunch of loonies out there. I think you're freaking
loonies. Down. The loonies are the ones who put it up, man, not the ones who are taking it down.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. You stand around and film a little more here.
I'll keep an eye on it. Yeah. Read your constitution while you're at it. It's a good document. So the fence is down, and it's about 3:35, but at least one vendor at the farmer's market is upset about that and wanted me to film it and not to clarify. I keep saying at the farmer's market. I should say at the parking lot next to the farmer's market. So it's actually not accurate to say we're in the farmer's market. We are adjacent to the farmer's market. Actually, the farmer's market has leased the area next door. And I'll make that clear. Farmer's market has nothing to do with this. It's simply the occasion for a community gathering. People are awaiting the arrival of the drum circle. What's your name, sir?
John.
And John, are you waiting for the drum circle, or are you waiting for some other perverted pleasure?
No, I'm just waiting for the drum circle.
I see. Okay. What's your name, sir?
Rish.
And Rish, what are you up to here? You've got your biking helmet, your backpack. Are you part of the sinister crowd that seems to be clustering here at the drum circle next to the farmer's market?
Possibly.
Very interesting. Thank you. Any comments about the falling down of the fence?
Looks nicer.
So you prefer the fence down rather than up?
Yes.
I would like a vote here. How many people want to put the fence back up? Please raise your hand. All right, there's one. Okay, he's in a car. He's leaving. Otherwise, it looks like we... Well, everyone who wants the fence restored, please raise your hands.
Who put the fence up?
The city, I believe, put the fence up.
And who tore the fence down?
Some unknown individuals who are... I mean, I don't know who they are.
Now we're going to go into a long colloquy with this woman who is denouncing the... what she considers drug use and all kinds of other things, but she has no specifics about any of the alleged problems in the area. So I take it she's an unfortunate victim of Sentinel and mayoral propaganda, which is probably the case. But the actual vote was I did not call for the nays. How many don't want the fence up? So I'm going to have to wait till next week to get a full count. We may have to do a recount, and we'll keep you advised.
I saw a couple of guys, you know, rolling around. I don't know who they are.
And is that destroying city property?
Well, I don't think the property is destroyed. I think it is temporarily.
Is that vandalism?
It might be construed by some as vandalism. However, yeah.
Well, Mr. Norris, I was out of town in Boston for a week.
What is your name?
My name is Marilyn Parker.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hello. And I had been following the Sentinel story about the housing and the drumming. Okay. But I left 8 days ago.
Okay.
So I returned today, and I hear no drumming. So I saw you, and I thought, ha-ha, this man, Mr. North, will know the reason that there are no drummers.
And you would have thought that an educated man like myself would, in fact, know that. But in fact, I don't really know, because I'm not really much of a drummer myself. I had heard the drummers were some of them coming, the ones who were often on Pacific Avenue during the, you know, the weekdays in the evenings. So I'm told they're coming, but they are later than usual. It's true. So I'm not sure what's happening. You could yourself pick up a drum and start drumming.
Well, I have no opposition to the drumming. I enjoy the drumming. What I have opposition to is the tearing down and destruction or vandalizing of city property, dealing drugs, obstructing the traffic, pooping or peeing on the asphalt, using obscenities. What else? I don't even care if the people don't drum well. I don't think drumming is an issue.
Well, there can't be drumming if there's a fence up there. You understand that. That fence prevents people from drumming here. You understand that.
I don't think that's the issue.
issue. I don't
sure
think
it is. That's the reason. That's the reason they put up the fence, to stop the drummers. What possible reason could they have?
I don't believe that it's stopping the drumming.
Of course it does. Would you drum in the middle of the area and block traffic? They don't want to do
You're
that.
You're interrupting me, Mr. North.
With facts, yes.
We're interrupting people now. There's not even a drum circle. My leg's broken. There's no ambulance. Tell me.
We have a theatrical approach to the whole problem.
You know, I know your stance on all of this, and I just feel that it's a very sorry situation when a drumming circle cannot drum without causing nuisances like urinating, drug dealing, smoking.
It does.
I come down here every Wednesday.
Okay, well, tell me how many instances of urinating you've seen in the last month.
I seen a couple of yuppies come out of the store urinating next to their car.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
See, look at that. No, it's a known fact.
That's a theatrical
that the city
comment.
People that have to.
That to pee real bad and she pulled the pants down next to her car.
That I can't talk with that. I can't. I'm distracted. No. Don't talk about that. There isn't urinating going on and defecating.
I haven't seen any defecating. I've never seen any defecating here. But I mean, maybe you have.
On Pacific Avenue.
No, here.
No, well, I'm just saying.
Well, oh, okay. Well, then you see, the whole point is, you want to fence off the entire Pacific Avenue?
No, I want to.
How about opening up some restrooms?
I want to drum.
Suzanne wants to go.
I want a drumming circle. I want a
drum.
Here comes a police car. Oh, hold it. Thank you. Again, we've been talking with
Marilyn Parker.
Thanks, Marilyn. And we have a couple. Angela's talking about the situation with another woman who's asking what this is all about.
Yeah, it's like if people get this, come to the drum circle. You know, he's always got a tape recorder on.
That's so much for my inconspicuous presence here.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, I don't know. That's just my guess. They don't want to push it now because, you know, it's just going to escalate, would be my guess.
And the woman speaking is Angela, who's a writer on this issue. She's written a lot on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. And I just heard from an anonymous source that an officer informed of one of the people who apparently engaged in fence removal. Officer Brandt was advised, apparently said something to the effect of, well, today is not a day to, we've been advised not to touch this issue particularly. And I think actually that's a wise choice. Why should the police get involved in some foolish territorial fight that involves fencing off previously open and regularly, traditionally used public space?
What? You're not letting you guys play? What?
Well, I'm not really a drummer. I mean, anybody can play, but I don't. We have one drummer here, but in the past.
Every time we have a couple weeks, you guys have the papers out here, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, somebody took down the fence, and any drummers who want to could play, but it looks like at least the drummers. There's one drummer who's over there who's not playing. Maybe I'll go ask and see what the story is. I'm in the middle of the forbidden ground here. We still have the occasional, we have a squad car and a paramedic engine off to the side dealing with injuries from Crow. And I'm holding this space for the drummers or skateboarders, but it doesn't look like a very big skateboarding area here.
Uh-huh.
Not enough skateboarding space right up here, I don't think.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Cops getting aggressive with Bradley. He like charged Bradley.
Oh really?
Yeah. Bradley's standing there talking to him, and he's getting madder and madder, and he like lunged at him.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's Brandt. He's not your most mellow cop.
Yeah.
I was going to help this drummer set up. You want to do some videoing? I give you the video. What actually happened here, sir?
The fence attacked him.
Talking about Crow, the poor man who's sitting over there by the curb.
Yeah. Well, only attacked him, and he tried to drag himself away, and it was like bending back and pulling him back, and I think it broke his leg.
Well, I doubt his leg is broken, but you know, it could be something to that effect.
Something that thing, that metal thing that.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Sue, don't fence him in.
Indeed, and that's fair to say.
And for those who want to follow this, you can actually see some of the photos on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. That's Bradley, who was there taking pictures, and there may be some video later. There's a lot of information on this whole attack on the public assembly and the right to be in public spaces that Mayor Coonerty has kind of spearheaded with his parking lot panic law, as I call it. In the studio with me, we have a number of guests. We have Whitney. Whitney, why don't you move to that other mic there, since Simba hasn't yet joined us. Simba Kenyatta, city council candidate, is due in the studio, but we haven't seen him here yet. Not quite sure. I hope maybe he doesn't know where the studio is. He's not quite overdue, but Hopefully he'll be here. And we also have with us activist Becky Johnson, who has agreed to interview Simba Kenyatta. Hey, hi, Becky.
Hi, and with my kinder, gentler interviews.
Indeed, indeed. Hope you don't engage in ambush journalism. I wouldn't want that to happen here in Free Radio Santa Cruz. And Whitney, you're up. You may throw in a question or two, I suppose. Aha! The man has arrived. Welcome. Welcome, Simba. All right. He's here with bike helmet on.
Went to the wrong collective.
And ready to answer questions. Running for... Yeah, it is. It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, if it gets lost, I'll have to pay for it, right? Oh, boy. All right, well, this is actually going to be the first in a series of interviews with city council candidates. Jay Cabrera has contacted me. He also wants to be interviewed. I don't think Ryan Coonerty, however, is going to be up for an interview, but you never can tell.
I have so much Ryan Coonerty material.
Yeah, I know. Ryan is just quite a figure, but I think we need to know about the men who have the good positions and the positions we might actually vote for, not those who we, you know, wish were somewhere else.
Well, Ryan's here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, actually, Whitney has just held up. You can't see it because this is radio. A picture of Ryan Coonerty, you know, as a kind of a mask.
Water here. I'm providing refreshments to the guests.
Thank you.
And you're off mic.
I'm away from the mic, but I'm not really off the mic. Becky.
Simba's
pouring Becky
some
refreshment
here. I can't
help it. I'm
still concerned about your sound quality.
A little vodka in the studio.
40 ounce here.
Yes, it's actually quite a gallon.
My reflex.
Anyway, this is an informal interview. You may have seen the 3-minute sound bites that they did at the various other interviews. In fact, that's one of the first questions I'm hoping. I've agreed not to interview Simba here so that Simba can get a more neutral perspective, since I've been critical in the past and no doubt will be in the future. But I want, you know,
and
Simba to
have. Probably critical in the present.
Critical, but not hypocritical. That's my motto. Simba, I want to introduce to all the people in the studio. We have Whitney over here, who may or may not know.
Yeah.
Whitney was with the Trash Orchestra, and she was an active organizer to restore public assembly space for the drum circle.
Cool.
You know Becky.
Yeah.
And there's an anonymous person hiding in the corner, which we won't even talk about. And then there's me. I want to tell our listeners that if you have questions, you can call in at 427-3772. Becky has a bunch of them, and I'm going to turn this over to Becky and to Simba with the occasional interruption from me, and I'll also try to staff the phones here. Again, 427-3772 is the number to call. Take it away, Becky.
Hi, Simba.
Welcome
to this Free Radio Studios and to Bathrop Pier's Broadside Soul Rights for the Poor. As you know, this show focuses on homeless issues and issues affecting poor people, and we find a profound lack of representation on the city council, and so we look with some interest upon your candidacy. Now, this is the third time that you've run for city council, is that correct? Okay.
I had to turn into my little masochistic streak in order to do it, but, yeah, I'm doing it again.
Okay, well, I can identify with that. I've been approached to run for city council myself and turned it down because I didn't feel masochistic enough at the moment. First off, you are aware that no one who has spent less than $20,000 on their city council campaign has won an election in the last 30 years.
That's why I'm so
Could you comment on that situation and how it affects your candidacy?
Well, that's one of the things that I'm pushing for this time is publicly financed elections. Because as long as they're privately financed, you have upper middle class in this town, upper middle class white people who more than likely have upper middle class white friends. So them raising money is a lot easier than me being a poor African American person. So and it skews what's actually going on. I mean, there was an article in the Chronicle a few months ago about how the representatives in California don't really represent who's in California. That because most of the people that are representing California right now are upper middle class white males. And that's not, so California is the first state that minorities, as they call them, are a majority.
So are you a homeowner or a renter?
No, I'm a renter. I can't afford a house.
See, now you wouldn't fit in on the city council. They're pretty much, I think perhaps
Tony Madrigal. Tony Madrigal's he makes the a only point renter. To say all the time that he's the only renter on the city council, and after I get on, he won't be able to say that.
And but. Before he was on, there were no renters on the city council.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And yet, about a third. No, he became a homeowner True. While he was on the city council.
Originally a renter.
Yeah, but it does. It skews who's actually able to run. You know, when poor people or people of color who are mostly poor, or often poor, don't get to run. It's kind of disenfranchises people. It pisses people off. It you know it's just like, you know, felons that can't vote. I don't understand that one either. But anyway.
Okay, but now, this is 2008, and things are all different now. We have the internet. You're not dependent on getting Sentinel ads to get your message out. Do you have a big flashy website or something?
I have a website. It's not flashy. As a matter of fact, I'm having a really hard time getting it completely set up. There's only one page on it right now, and that's the page where I outline some of my positions. But there are other things that are going to be on the website, that some writings I've done, essays, political writing, things so you can get understand who I actually am.
And, well, then there's also the...
What is your website, Simba, so we can tell the public?
Beyond Politics Santa Cruz.
Well, then there are always the different election forums around town. For instance, how did you do at the SEIU forum?
Well, I didn't do anything at SEIU forum because I never got and noticed that there was a forum happening. And I was out of town on August the 11th. I mean, we turned in our papers August the 8th. They had a forum on August the 11th. It kind of doesn't even give you time to even get your campaign together, get anything together before they have a forum.
Well, did you receive your packet belatedly at least?
No. No, I've never gotten anything
from SEIU. Not your questionnaire from the SEIU?
I have never gotten anything from SEIU. Well, not this time. I did last time I ran, but no, nothing this time.
Were you included in the previous debate, like two years ago?
Yeah. I was at that one. So I was kind of expecting this one. So when I didn't get a notice and I got back from Fire Dance, this event I go to every year, when I got back from it, people were saying, well, why come you weren't at the SEIU forum? It's like, well, because I didn't know about the SEIU forum. I'll go to every I missed the police department.
Did you go to the police department? I was going to ask about that next, Simba.
Yeah. Well, see,
certainly you made up for it when you went to the police department forum.
I blew that one because I wasn't even going to fill out the questionnaire because there's no sense in me even pretending they're going to give me any kind of endorsement because two of the questions they asked, one was, what do you feel about a police review board? And the other question was, do you believe the Santa Cruz police engage in racial profiling? Now, if I had answered both of those questions, honestly, there's no way in hell they're going to give me any of the time of day. So I blew that. I did turn it in belatedly, though, because I did think about, well, when I do get elected, I'm still going to have to deal with these people, you know, whether they're cops or whatever. So I belatedly turned it in and had a little conversation with the representative and stuff. And I called the Santa Cruz Fire Department and thanked them for some booklet they sent and stuff and, you know, let them know that I was there and stuff.
And you put all your answers in the downloadable CD that they asked for to be sent by registered mail?
No.
We actually sent somebody to that forum to try to record it as we tried to record the SEIU forum. At the SEIU's Jeff Smedberg would not allow us to record. In fact, he threatened... He seemed to be threatening to arrest if we tried to record the forum. I know, Becky, you brought a video camera. We wanted to get that because a number of SEIU members couldn't be there. You, Simba, and three other candidates were not allowed to be there, or at least weren't there for one reason or another. I believe Craig Canada also said he was not. Did not receive any information. And when Rick, the Huff person, came to the police department on the forum situation there, it was a Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, he was told he could not go in. It was a private situation to which only certain candidates were invited. So, but you apparently were invited to the police forum, or not?
I don't even know how all the SEIU members got to know what happened at that candidate forum, because it was certainly a much smaller room. I think there's 800 or 900 members in the SEIU.
Yeah, because I used to be a member of SEIU. That's what makes it even stranger, because I was a city employee for 6 years. So I was a member of SEIU. So not getting anything was really strange to me.
You weren't the only one.
Yeah, and I guess what, the people that they don't think should be on the city council or don't think they're going to get a chance to be on the city council?
Well, I know for sure that Craig Canada never got any packet from the SEIU, and he was also concerned about the police department packet that they had asked
for tremendously difficult ways of complying on a very short time span that was not inexpensive either.
No.
And then he went through all those efforts, turned it in at what he thought was the last minute, and then they said, well, you weren't in on time, so we didn't invite you to our forum.
You know, I just want to comment about Craig
Canada. To the forum.
Craig Canada wrote an extensive response to the police questions. And I,
into your mic, please.
I encourage all the candidates to look at that questionnaire that Canada wrote. As you pointed out, Simba, what he said about police enforcement is it's selective, it's racial and class oriented. But he went into it in some detail to the police department, and
I'm sure they appreciated
it. I'm sure they loved it. I don't even think they allowed him in the room, you know, because I think, you know, as I said, they selectively chose some people, and some people were not even invited, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. And if any police officer is listening to this and has, you know, corrective information, please call in and let us know. So, but he wrote a very elaborate and I think very, very incisive response. And I would encourage all the candidates, and yourself included, Zimba, particularly with your long history of grappling with issues of police, review your work on the community dialogue group.
Yeah, well, when I filled out the application, I had to tell them, I mean, you know, because I was one of the people that was instrumental in getting the Civilian Police Review Board in the first place. And I was on that coalition. It took us 4 years. And some threats from the Santa Cruz Police Department that, you know, were not even veiled threats, you know, that we would be sorry for having backed that.
And that was the Coalition for a Countywide Community Dialogue on Race, Poverty, Equality, and Justice.
No. The first one was a coalition to
Coalition for a Citizens Police Review Commission.
Board. Right.
Oh, we're talking back in like 94 or so.
Yeah.
91,
yeah.
92.
Oh, even earlier.
Yeah, Margaret Marr, other activists. You actually had some heavy attorneys on that one, too.
Yeah, Ben and Margaret and Samara.
Well, let me ask you, Simba, then, since Mayor Riley, 86, the CPRB, Citizens Police Review Board, and if you were elected to the City Council, would you make an effort to return the Citizens Police Review Board back to commission status?
I would definitely back it if somebody else wanted to do it, but I'm not going to go through that again. It was really painful, seriously. I mean, those people, like I said, we got threatened. You know, it's one, I think it was Steve Clark, told us that, well, the people that backed this Civilian Police Review Board, when you have a problem, the police might not come to your house quite as quickly as they would to somebody else. And one of the city council people, I can't remember who it was, said, you can't threaten them like that. I mean, it was such an unveiled threat that even the city council person got it. You know, it's like, you can't say that. You know, so no, I'm not really into going through that again. I will back it, yeah, wholeheartedly, but starting it, no, I'm no.
I remember that John Malkin, who was on your group and then became a board member of the first Citizens Police Review Board in 1995, I think it was, he got into a situation where the same, I guess now he's Captain Clark, told Malkin he had files on him, political files, and was going to keep them. And Malkin tried to file a complaint with the Police Review Board about this behavior, but since he filed it on the seventh month, they refused to extend it, and they didn't even consider his complaint against the...
Well, the whole thing was a joke in the first place, because all complaints had to go through the police department first. And if they decided that it had merit, they would pass it on to the Civilian Police Review Board. That's so bass-ackwards. I don't know how they got away with it, but, you know, they just took all the juice out of that thing, just sucked all the air out of it.
Kennedy and Byers were the reason they got away with it, in my view, because they were the two council members that were on the subcommittee, along with Rittenhouse, who were considering that board. That was my recollection at the time. And I guess the reason I talk about it now, Simba, is because there are people in other cities who are considering police review boards. And they're considering even weaker alternatives, like police auditors. Like, we have an auditor that's completely
ombudsman, auditor, all that crap.
But I,
I
think originally your group wanted to have independent review process, independent of the IA's investigation.
Yes, independent, and actually it could make recommendations that should be acted upon. That was the other thing the police really didn't like, because we realized that a lot of times the police are actually following police policy. So we need to get down to the policy part, not the after they get, do something to the police review board. We need to have more citizens in on the police policy, so that when they say, oh, you know, I'm going to taser you. No, the hell you are. No, no. We decided in this town that we're not going to taser people. You know, or we decided we're not going to tear gas. You know, we need to make these decisions, because the police aren't, they're not like an entity unto themselves as much as they think they are. They're our employees. So, you know, they're our police. We're not their people.
You know, I see, Becky, you've got a whole bunch of questions that I do want you to ask Simba. But I think this is such a key issue because Simba has this Coalition for a Community Dialogue that he and Tony Madrigal and many other members of the community are working on that I've been critical of to some extent and supportive to another extent. But the whole idea of monitoring the police and getting some kind of control and getting a historical perspective on how the people have tried in the past and failed and why they failed and what they should do to get past those hurdles is really an important issue. So I
welcome to the October 18th one that's going to be at Cabrillo Horticultural Center, and at the 18th, October the 18th, we're going to review all
what
the four 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Yeah,
yeah. And we're going to sit down and talk about Bay so people can be aware
okay.
of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we definitely want people to come and come up with solutions. That's what we've uncovered problems at the four listening sessions we had. Now the big one we're going to get together with as many people as can, educators, healthcare people, all that, and come up with some solutions to the problems we uncovered.
And some of the documentation you might want to try to get before that, like how many people have been tasered in the last year, requesting that from the Public Safety Committee now covers those issues supposedly. Mm-hmm. For the city council. Go ahead, Becky.
Becky, sir.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. I'm grabbing this microphone back
please.
Here. And
please.
Causing havoc.
Throwing water at you folks.
Yeah,
bad,
that's next.
Bad, yeah.
I'm arming myself here. I've got two hands here to arm myself. Okay. Do you think that your campaign was sabotaged when you first ran for city council?
1994, I believe.
I don't even want to talk about that at all.
Okay, we don't, certainly it wouldn't do you any good to bring up the specifics of it, but I was just wondering if you had a yes or no answer to that.
Yes, but the people that were doing it were not who I would expect. It was very strange. It came from out of left field. Just somebody had a bug in their ass about me and just had to deal with it, so that's
yeah,
all
and
I
heard
with.
That one of the people who was elected did kind of pick that up and use that to eliminate you from the competition. That was the rumor I heard.
I don't even remember. I really seriously. I tried my best to put that shit out of my mind.
You're a very forgiving person.
My memory, really, I have a bad memory from being abused when I was younger. And my memory doesn't work quite well because I talked about a shrink about it, you know, like, how come I don't remember stuff? She said, well, if you were abused the way you said you were abused, it didn't serve you to remember anything. So I really have a bad memory.
So a little post-traumatic stress disorder
yes,
from police abuse.
No, well, from my father abuse.
Oh.
And he was not a policeman.
No, he was just an alcoholic asshole.
We have total candor here at Free Radio.
Well, I'm glad that you're able to be a survivor of that and that you're here today running for city council. And if you're elected, sticking with this police issue, we know that over a third of the general fund goes to police in City Santa Cruz, which actually has a low crime rate, especially if you eliminate all the silly ordinances filling up the books. We all know about the $13 million police station, which started out as a $6 million police station and then had $7 million in overruns.
That was fun.
And now the same thing we want to do with this five-story parking garage, but that's... Well, back to the police.
I want to find out how much, and I've asked, and I've kind of had to run around, because I want to know how much the city of Santa Cruz has paid out for police misconduct, and I'm really interested in finding that out, because if it's more than $130,000, which I've heard is way more than $130,000, that the police bureau was only $90,000 a year, and if we're paying more and more money because people can't complain somewhere, and we're paying people instead of, that makes no sense at all.
Well, the Blue Lagoon case comes to mind as being very, very expensive to the city of Santa Cruz.
That's one up to $130,000?
I think all told, if you count John Barisoni's fees, which were huge.
Yeah. That's our city attorney.
City attorney.
Then it cost us over $1 million, sum told. Not all of that went in payments, but...
Yeah, but in the output that they had to do in order to fight
the... taxpayers have to absorb over $1 million for Blue Lagoon. And that an earlier point in that case... the owners of the Blue Lagoon would have settled for an apology.
Yep.
And just to have the police stop the practices of just harassing that
yep.
business again and again and
yep.
again.
Yeah, I go to Blue Lagoon fairly often, and a while ago it was really weird to be standing there, and all of a sudden police are coming in the back and front door. There's nothing going on. Nobody's dealing drugs. Nobody's smoking any herb. Nobody's doing anything but dancing and drinking alcohol, which is legal. And mm-hmm. I'm standing there, and police are coming from two different directions. What? Mm-hmm. For what? I don't know, but that's why they sued them.
Parking their police cars so that the headlights shined in the front window for
mm-hmm.
long periods of time.
Yeah.
Officer Brandt coming into the Blue Lagoon with a police dog and sitting there for hours at a time.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that.
The police coming up to the Blue Lagoon owners and saying, you know, you're near the Metro bus station, and we'd really appreciate it if you would report anything you see happening over there. And which they did, dutifully, like
mm-hmm.
good citizens in the area. And then they come and say, oh, well, you're a crime-infested business. Look at all these reports of calls for service we've had from the Blue Lagoon.
After they asked them to do.
Exactly.
You know, regarding the, I think your really important point, Simba, about risk, how much money is being spent each year, those are public records. And if you go to the risk assessment manager and you make a request to find out how much money has been paid out to the police department in settlements, they are obligated to give it to you.
Okay. I didn't get around to it. I never got as far as the risk assessment manager because I kept going through the city attorney and who else was it? But anyway, they did sort of run around, so...
Well, I'm tremendously blame John Barisoni, the city attorney, for that whole Blue Lagoon fiasco, because he never suggested that the city settle. He had no reason to. And this gets to my next question. Would you make any changes at the city attorney's office? John Barisoni's firm has had control for almost two decades. We pay him $500,000 every year to sit in that seat at the council meetings and answer any questions if they have any. All other expenses are billed. So,
I definitely will look into it. I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I'm going to fire the guy, but I definitely would like to look into how much the city is paying this man and why. That's a lot of money to be paying somebody when we're already in broke debt. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
So you would be willing to, when his contract comes up, you wouldn't give it the rubber stamp
I don't see it. I don't want to do any rubber stamps about anything. And I'm trying to get people in Santa Cruz to do things besides running them through either the police department or the city council. We need to start talking to each other. Like, one of the things I would like to do on a downtown basis, I want to see the merchants and some of the longtime homeless poor people, or poor/homeless is how I usually put it. But I would like to see merchants and poor/homeless people get together and sit down and talk and have a face-to-face and understand that they're humans and that they're mm-hmm. all respectful, you know, that they all need respect. Because I think the merchants think that they can do anything because they're capitalists and they bring money in. So, yeah, they can do anything. And the merchants think that the homeless people don't have any respect for themselves or the city.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to sit down and talk, I think would do a lot, because I can see in my mind, I can see some of these older, poor/homeless people that have been in Santa Cruz for a long time telling some of these younger kids that come around here that are dealing drugs, that are screwing up the mall. I think that it would work real well for some of these older people to go, you can't do that here. You're screwing it up for all of us. Because I know some of the older poor/homeless people have a lot of respect, and they do, and they've been around for a long time. They, you know, they want to see Santa Cruz work. You know, mm-hmm. they don't want to see it fail. They want to see Santa Cruz work because they're here.
So, Simba, would you recommend something like that to happen, what's happening at
the drum circle? Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't bring it with me. But in my campaign literature, I mentioned the It's Beach and Lighthouse Field fiasco, you know, thing that's going on, that rancor. I mentioned the homeless people and merchants, and I mentioned the drum circle and farmers, because I think they need to sit down and talk, too. You know, for people to sit down and talk to each other, there's a lot that happens. There's not only just the respect, there's also the empathy that you know that the other person is not just talking to you because they're pissed off or because they're angry or because they want to do some damage, but that they're talking to you because they want to come to some kind mm-hmm. of a solution that's amenable to both people, to both parties.
You were quoted, though, in the Sentinel.
Hi. You were quoted in the Sentinel as saying
speaking.
That the drummers need to go away because they're bad drummers.
That's not what I said. That is not what I said. What I said is I think people aren't objecting to the drums. I think they're objecting to bad drumming. That's what I said. And the thing that bothered me about that whole thing is that they didn't print the statement that I really would rather than print it when I said, only in America could you get arrested for playing music outside. That's what I wanted them to print, but the Sentinel doesn't work like that. So they printed the thing that would cause division between me and other people and stuff. And I'm really trying to undo that as it. But people that know me know what I meant. You know, like I told them, I've been a professional musician for like 35 years. And I'm a drummer. So when I said that, it wasn't like I'm just criticizing somebody out of cloth. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a drummer. So when I listen to them sometimes, I think, I need to go over there and give these people some beat lessons, you know? And the Trash Orchestra came and did that after this whole thing, after I said what I said. So something good did come out of it because the Trash Orchestra said maybe they do need some guidance, you know?
Have you been down to the drum circle during these police encounters?
I keep getting there late. Yeah, I do. And it's a much ado about nothing. I don't understand. The city, we make such big deals out of nothing. You know, there's a person I think she's from New York or something. She said, not even in New York do people get this rabid about city councilships. You know, this town is on edge for nothing. It's a tourist town filled full of upper middle class white folks. Why in the hell is everybody so uptight?
Well, the key question I had, and I want to ask your permission to ask it, Simba, because I know.
Well, I'm Becky's one doing this.
I'll ask Becky's permission.
The question to me is,
do you support people taking back the public space when the police, for example, are fencing off the area? I mean, people are coming in and removing the fences and drumming. I mean. Do you have a position on that? What's your sense?
Go for it. Go for it.
So you just
arrest him, everybody.
No, I don't want people arrested. But you know, when public space is our public space, I mean, that's one of the what's it? That the First Amendment? You know, right to peaceable assembly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I don't understand. And the parking lot is city property, so I don't really understand why city citizens can't go to a city-owned place and do some drumming. It's a wonderful thing. It's drums. It's the heartbeat of the earth, you know?
Well, perhaps you could comment on Mayor Ryan Coonerty's pet ordinance, the 15-minute parking lot trespass law.
That's what I was saying about we make much ado about nothing. People weren't sitting up there shooting up heroin and stuff. Well, maybe they were. But no, not that I know of. You know,
it is a crime.
Yeah, it is a crime. And if there is a crime being committed, cool, deal with that. But to make being there a crime is a little strange to me. I don't get it. I really don't get it. If there's that much stuff going on, our police, I think, are under, I can't say, I think they can use more things to do. I think sometimes our police force kind of gets in trouble
because they just have nothing to do.
How about investigate those rape crimes that they don't seem to be falling? You're aware of that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The rape investigation is pitiful in the city of Santa Cruz.
That's one thing that I brought up, too, that I would like to see. Because people don't feel safe in the parking lots, in the parking garages, you know, and probably rightfully so. So I had suggested that we get volunteers to man little golf carts and take people from the top of the garage down to the mall, you know, down to Pacific Garden Mall, you know, to actually have some physical presence so people know that in a couple of minutes there's going to be somebody here. So I need to watch myself.
Hey, we can give those hosts an actual real job.
Give them a job. Yes, exactly. So, I mean, they could just, you know, motor people from these different garages from the top floor.
Guard them against the homeless, the hippies, and the other lurkers.
Guard them from themselves. Whatever they need to feel safe, let them feel safe, you know. It's just so. No, that was my suggestion, is that we, you know, get a fleet of little golf carts and take people from the parking lots to the mall.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say Segway.
So would you support rescinding the 15-minute law and rewriting it if necessary?
I don't know that it needs to be rewritten as much as just kind of gotten rid of. I don't understand it. You know, if I understood it more, maybe, you know, Ryan or somebody can explain it to me, and that might help some. But from just thinking about it, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like I said, if there's a law being broken, it has nothing to do with 15 minutes. You know, you can break several laws in 10 minutes. I mean, you know, so the time period, I don't understand. You know, why didn't they say 7.5 minutes, you know, or 16 minutes?
They wanted it to be 10 minutes, but then Sheila Coonerty found that as she left the meeting, she wound up in her car doing stuff for 20 minutes. So she decided that 10 minutes was too much. So they changed it to 15.
You got to be kidding. You serious?
Well, Huff monitored that law quite a bit from the beginning, as it went through the Downtown Commission, as it came before the council and the second reading. We opposed it at every level to no avail.
Well, see, that's why I said I think it would be nice for merchants and poor/homeless people to get together and talk about what they see going on, because I know these poor/homeless people do not want to see all this crap going on any more than anybody else does. So to enlist them as allies instead of castigating them as villains, I think we'll do a lot more. You know, we have to learn how to start getting along with each other, because that's one of the main reasons I ran for city council in the very beginning, is that I want to see Santa Cruz live up to its potential. When I first moved here in 76, 78, there was a lot of spirituality. There was a lot of, you know, togetherness. There was a lot of sense of being allies. There was a very different sense there is now. To now, there's so much division. You know, and because certain people got power that didn't have power back in the late 70s, you know. So having gotten this power, they kind of start acting a little differently. Now they start acting a lot differently. So, you know, it's. I think that Santa Cruz could live up to its potential, because I watch us around Christmas. Around Christmas, 2 weeks before Christmas, everybody is just as sweet as they can be to each other. After the earthquake, people were people that didn't know each other, people that didn't even like each other. So, are you all right? You know, is your house all right? You know, is your family all right? People had genuine caring for each other. I don't think that we just can have to do that after earthquakes or around Christmas.
I think that's the way people normally feel, and then they're taught to be afraid.
Exactly.
They're taught to put up walls.
Yes,
they're
exactly.
told, walk by that Pamland, or he's only going to use it for drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
They're told when they see, you know, a person shivering at night that, that's that parasite who's just, you know, sponging off social services.
That's another thing I wanted to see. I want to see the public school system. I belong to an organization called National Coalition Building Institute, and we give workshops on prejudice reduction. I've done workshops in, I think, every high school in the county and a couple of junior highs. And it actually works that people start looking at each other as, because the workshop starts off explaining that we all started out the same way. These young, sweet, loving, open, intelligent mm-hmm. beings. And as we go through life, they chop it, hack it away. Well, so in these workshops, we try to get people to understand, you've been programmed. All of us mm-hmm. have been programmed. I can't call a white man a racist because I'm partially racist, because I got the same schooling that they got. So, you know, black people feel this about themselves the same way white people feel about them, badly. You know, and I think it's, you know, for us to have workshops like that in junior high or even before junior high, because I think we start developing our opinions about people and things before we get to 7th or 8th grade. So I think, you know, maybe 4th, 5th grade, start having those workshops about having people learn how to treat other people with respect and decency.
Maybe you could give one of those workshops to the current city council members.
That's on our agenda.
Could you comment about how the members of the public are treated at... when they go to the microphone, how they have to wait for hours, how they don't know what time, say oral communications is, they're continually forgetting to have public comment on
items. That's another thing that I have. God, I was
cutting back to
literature.
2 minutes or 1 minute.
Because it's another thing I talk about in my campaign literature.
Or the consent agenda items then.
I would like to see the city council.
I mean, how do they get away with that?
I'd like to see the city council meet in different places 4 times a year. You know, quarterly, go to a different place in town. Mm-hmm. Go to the Beach Flats Community Center and have a city council meeting. Go to over to the Seabright Skating Rink or whatever and have a city council meeting. You know, but we need the city council to go where the people are to hear them.
Well, it would be practical to do that with the subcommittee level, but as for the full meeting, there are some logistics because it is broadcast on mm-hmm. community television. There are mm-hmm. only a couple venues that have that capability. The Civic, which is only across the street,
right,
has that,
right.
And that's not much of an advantage.
I bet we could find some.
I think
really
there's one at UCSC that could be suitable.
I bet Barrios could be converted, could work. Things can be made to work if we have the desire to make them work.
However, the subcommittees could easily go out into mm-hmm. all the different neighborhoods mm-hmm. and meet on issues that are particular to those neighborhoods
too. Exactly. Yeah.
That's certainly something that could easily be done. Let me talk about another issue. I know that the schools is not really part of the duties of a city council
member. I spend a lot of time in the schools, though. as
yeah,
a teacher.
But as a city council member, you really won't deal with the schools. They're run by entirely by the school board. They have different budgets. Mm-hmm. You won't have any power over the school system other than, you know, maybe you'll have a good relationship with them. I want to change hats here a little bit. Environmentalists, and there are a lot of very powerful environmentalists in town, have always been pitted against social justice activists for poor and homeless people. Because homeless people camp out and trash the environment, or at least that's what the belief is. Environmentalists are typically anti-homeless, often. How would you resolve this conflict? Would you see a well-regulated campground for homeless people as a solution to both the needs of homeless people who need some kind of base of operations while endeavoring to put their lives back together, and something that would also relieve the pressure of homeless campers on our green belts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to have some, because not all homeless people want to be inside a building. You know, and that's one thing about our culture, that we don't allow people to do what the hell they want to do, even though we're free. We're Americans. We're free. But, you know, try acting free, you know. So, no, I think it would be a good idea, because it does. There have been homeless campsites that were really bad. So you can't say that, you know, that it just has no basis at all, because there have been a couple of them that were horrible. But then there are also ones where people actually act like family and take care of each other and take care of the campsite. You can't lump them all together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good idea to have a campsite that they can go to, you know, that's not, you know,
bothering people. And I know in the past you have opposed the sleeping ban and the blanket ban as two laws that you would act to remove. I was wondering, would you... so you would support putting aside 3 acres for a campground that would spare 2,000 acres of greenbelt and parkland heavy camping use.
The problem is finding the 3 acres, because Santa Cruz is almost what they call built out, you know, meaning that there's no more room to put anything. and we're quickly approaching that point where there is no more places to build.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about building anything, a campground.
The space itself, acres, finding 3 acres in Santa Cruz may be quite a task.
Well, there are three parks that are already currently written into law, and that's the Harvey West Park, the Benchlands, and De La Viega Park are already written into the Santa Cruz City Ordinance as places where organized camps can be set up. And they've done that for, like, the AIDS Bike-a-thon camps out in Harvey West Park, and they don't seem to have any trouble. In fact, I have a funny little story about that. The last time that the AIDS Bike-a-thon came through Santa Cruz, a bunch of homeless campers saw the bikers camping at Harvey West, and they all kind of rolled, and they set their tents up, and they rolled out their sleeping bags. Totally fit in. Wasn't a single problem. There weren't any rapes or burglaries no defecation on the ground. No empty whiskey bottles found afterwards or used hypodermic needles. Yeah. It was just seamless.
Yeah.
So, but
it can happen.
Yeah,
but like I said, finding 3 acres.
Do you think that it's an emergency for homeless people?
It's been an emergency for homeless people since what, the 70s? You know, this isn't. I'm tired of dealing with it. This is stupid.
The
you
law
know,
went
that
in effect
1978. That most people can't afford to live somewhere. You know, even people that are working an 8-hour-day job are having a hard time being able to live somewhere. So, no, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. All these people that have their homes foreclosed, where do you think they're going? You know, they're out. A lot of them are out on the streets. So we're going to see this getting worse and worse and worse. The more this economic situation gets the way it is, the more it gets, you know, the way it is now, it's not going to be any better.
Okay, here's one about bathrooms, which are chronically short, especially in the downtown area, restrooms. Would you support an ordinance which requires businesses which sell food or drinks to provide clean, usable bathrooms for their customers in order to alleviate the overall problem of insufficient bathrooms downtown? This would cost the city nothing. A stroke of the pen.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, excuse me, that's kind of like, you know, common sense that if you're going to be using something, if you're going to...
Common sense, but not practice. For instance, the Santa Cruz Coffee Roasting Company, which sells a product which is both a
that
diuretic,
runs right through you. I know.
And a laxative.
Yeah.
And provides no bathroom, and it's a huge business.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, I don't understand.
Pizza
that.
Grill has no business or no
pizza,
bathroom.
Pizza My Heart. Yeah, no, I know it makes no sense to me.
Borders,
you know,
has a coffee shop, a huge business.
I don't
has no
understand
bathroom.
Why there aren't more bathrooms anyway. I mean, because there is not a person on this planet that don't pee and poop. Nobody doesn't pee and poop. We all pee and poop. Now, why we don't have bathrooms, you know, every block or something, I don't understand, you know, because it's a human, it's something we do as humans. Oh, that's something we do as life beings, you know. Take in stuff, eliminate stuff, you know. So like, no, I think that if they're going to give you stuff to take in, then they ought to give you a place to eliminate. I know it may sound a little bad, but, you know.
So you're in favor of public hygiene, unlike everybody else on the city council.
There, by the way, we're listening to Simba Kenyatta, who's a city council candidate for the election coming up next month. Interviewing him is Becky Johnson. And waiting in the wings here with the occasional pot shot is Whitney Wild. If you want to have any questions.
A wild woman, too.
She's wild and she's woolly. Well, if you've got any questions for Simba or anybody else in the studio, give a call. 427-3772, 427-3772. And also Simba's website, if you want to check it out directly, is at
beyondpoliticssantacruz.org. .org. No, .com.
.com.
And my email is skenyatta, KENYATTA, at cruzio.com. So you can also email me if you want.
One of these days you'll return my email. We'll see.
Okay, let's move on quickly.
That's me, too.
Okay.
Me,
yeah, either. I know. That. I just realized that's who you are, that the email I got from you with all the questions.
Uh-huh.
She asked more questions than the other people with the forums, and it was only her.
She wants to be an informed voter.
Maybe we should allow her to ask some of those questions now.
Oh, you got I'm chiming in.
Okay.
I mean, she asked a lot of the ones I wanted to ask.
Good.
Do you think that government should be
Do you have to
hear
Mike?
Do you think that government should be transparent?
Completely transparent. And if it isn't, then they're in violation of the Brown Act. That's the Brown Act was made to make sure that all the meetings that we had, all the, you know, city meetings were made public, or at least had a public component to them. So if they're not being transparent, then they're violating the Brown Act. We ought to sue their ass. You know, take them to court for it. Really, seriously, there have been communities that have sued their city council because they didn't pay any attention to the Brown Act.
Do you think that Ryan Coonerty's downtown task force is Brown Act compliant? It's composed of three members of the city council, and they don't hold any public meetings, they don't have any minutes, and yet they're submitting things for the agenda to be voted on.
There's something else that they're not. Oh, God, what was it about? Oh, the negotiations with Bahia? I think that's been kind of has been undercover, too, from what I understand. So I think the transparency, this is supposedly America, you know, where we have a democracy, where people make informed decisions and stuff. So, you know, yeah, you have to make informed decisions, but you have to have the information first.
Yeah, there is kind of a little expose about La Bahia on Bratton Online, if you look at the current issue, where he's talking about a conflict of interest that Ryan Coonerty has had with the La Bahia project.
Yeah. As far as I know, I thought he recused himself from voting on that, didn't he? No?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Huh.
I encourage listeners to look up Bruce Bratton's website this month and read all about it. Huh. Back to you, some of these questions I have. Santa Cruz has a permit parking citywide, a policy for permit parking citywide, which sells residents back the parking spaces in front of their homes, which they had previously enjoyed for free. Furthermore, City Manager Dix Wilson says the program requires so much staff time to manage that we shouldn't expect any revenue into the general fund from this program. In addition, this program includes a ban on overnight parking, which is explicitly directed at homeless people who don't have houses and don't qualify for the permits. What will you do to alleviate the housing survival crisis in the city where affordable housing for many people is a car?
That's a hell of a question.
What's your solution, or should they just get out of town?
No, they shouldn't get out of town. No, we need to work something out. But that question is kind of like, how do you cure cancer? It's kind of like, you know, that's a pretty heavy question. Wait, I don't have that.
No,
and
this
to
is
be
something
honest,
that our city council enacted. You know, it's only seven people and a city manager that put it together.
Yeah. Well, anything that we can
cancer.
Do, we can undo. Yeah, anything we do, we can undo, you know.
It's
but
easier to cure than cancer. However, getting you elected to city council might be harder than curing cancer.
You know, actually, I think I'm going to win this time. I've been getting feedback from people that I don't even know, people that aren't even... Matter of fact, I've even had one of the candidates, mate, come up to me and say, I'm going to vote for you. That blew me away. There's one of the city council candidates, mates, came up to me and said...
One of the present
candidates.
Are you going to have a platform, Simba and mystery endorser?
This whole thing with homeless, trying to find ways. One of the things I talk about in my campaign literature also is that I would like to work with federal, state, local agencies, whatever, and redefine affordable housing, because affordable housing is not affordable to most people. You know, and it's like, so we need to redefine the parameters of what exactly we determine affordable housing is. Then maybe we can start getting some people off the street. But as long as people can't afford to live anywhere, then they're going to be on the streets, like I said.
Yeah,
and it's going to get worse because there are people that are having their homes taken out from under them.
Yeah, homeless people need very low-income housing, not affordable housing by those standards.
Exactly. And I think affordable housing should be very low-income. That's affordable. You know, it's affordable for me anyway. I'm on SSI. I don't get a lot of money. So, it has to be affordable at low-income.
How are we doing here? We're doing pretty good here. SAFE, the Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, the Street Performers Union, sort of kind of a loose union, they've condemned the Move Along Every Hour law, which has negatively impacted Democratic Party registrars, Huff Tablers, and street musicians. Is this something that you would...
When did that happen?
2002.
That was Mayor Riley.
No, actually, it was before Mayor Riley. It was Mayor Crone.
Because when I first came to Santa Cruz, I used to go down to the mall and play my drums. You know, I'm a drummer, so I used to take my kungas down and play on the mall.
She was the one that met with all the groups downtown.
She wasn't mayor then. She and Porter were the two who did that under Mayor Crone. Crone opposed it. Crone and Sugar voted against it, but this was Porter's law.
Say Councilmember Riley promoted that.
And Councilmember Porter. They're both, of course, going out of office, and we have new people coming in.
And actually, Cynthia Matthews was the very first person on the council who ever said that she thought, I think we need a move-along law. And this is how she put it. She said, what if... a musician decides to stand in front of a store and sing the same song over and over and over again.
For an hour.
I think we need a law in case that might happen someday.
No, that was that really her example?
I may be paraphrasing slightly, but yes, that was her example.
No, I didn't even know that that had been changed. Like I said, because when I first moved here, I used to go down and play on the mall all the time. And if they meant move along, what do you have to move off the mall? You just have to move in front of that spot?
Well, it affects whether you have a non-commercial display device or not. And maybe I'll have to check with my resident expert here. Is a guitar case a display device?
A guitar case, a political table, anything capable of holding tangible objects, a cup, is considered a display device. And you aren't, you must
your hands?
Now, that's
a good question. If you don't hold it out as a display device, I don't suppose it is. But if you had, for example, something attached to you, that would be a display device.
Because I had fully intended on going down to the mall and tabling for my candidacy. So this is
Are you
be
ready to move
this
along?
Is gonna, this is
move
be
your butt every hour.
This is going
to
be very interesting.
Over 100 feet each every hour, or get $162 citation. Or
what are we doing?
Or you could use the free speech zone in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz, and then you'd be exempt from the move along law, like Huff does, and then we get accused of harassing
in front of Bookshop
the Coonerty
Cruz.
Family.
So in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz is
the only free speech zone, which is exempt from
and
the move along.
And who determined that
Scott Kennedy
should be the place?
Scott Kennedy
determined that should be the
that was the bone he threw to the Wilfers. You remember the Wilfers?
Then we need to use that
Wilfers
as often
said,
as possible then.
Oh, move along, but what about our Wilf table where we table like every Saturday for the last 100 years, you know? And Kenny goes, oh, well, we'll make that an exemption zone. And then the Wilfers go, oh, okay. There you go. Our Wilfers not
I,
at
I,
work.
Sometimes I get confused because I don't understand what we're doing in this town. It's like, are we trying to Carmelize Santa Cruz? You know, and if we are, be upfront about it. You know, just say we don't want any people of color, homeless people, poor people in this town. We just want to be upper middle class white people. We do not want the rest of you here. If they're going to do it, just come out and say it instead of making all these little laws and they're going to nickel and dime you to death, you know, and give you this little law here and this little law there to make you feel unwelcome. It makes no sense at all to me. You know, that's not
the
community that I moved into.
The boardwalk is not Carmel. The boardwalk is not Carmel. The boardwalk is, you know, poor person's holiday at the beach, right?
Yeah.
But here, let me. I have some concerns about the boardwalk as well. Let me get back to this location.
You have 10 minutes to call in and ask Simba a question, unless Becky has already asked it for you.
And you know something though that I have to give
427-3772.
I have to give Seaside Company props because they had more guts than the Santa Cruz Police Department because they sent a representative to the Santa Cruz listening session for the countywide dialogue on race.
Oh.
They
uh-huh.
sent a representative. The guy told me he was going to come, and he came.
Uh-huh.
And so I got to give them props for that because I mailed the Highway Patrol. They said they were going to come. Nobody came. I emailed the Santa Cruz Police Department, and Zach Finn told me, because I called, I always follow up things. So I called, you know, after I had sent the email to make sure he was going to come, and he goes, I never got the email. So I have a Highway Patrol person and the Santa Cruz Police Department telling me they didn't get something that I sent them. And it seems like a bureaucratic version of the dog ate my homework.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
But then you know how those of us who feel who email you and don't get a reply.
Well, maybe. Yeah, but, you know, I just didn't understand how, you know, as important an event I thought as was in this county that they couldn't see anybody. But the Seaside Company did send somebody, and the guy was, he was pretty amenable. He was all right.
Looks like a caller.
Okay, here, let me go on my next question. Santa Cruz is a tourist city. We survive on a revenue stream coming from 3.4 million tourists drawn to our city by the boardwalk alone per year. But are we getting our money's worth? The city earns no income from arcade games, only earns sales tax from purchases made of food, souvenirs, and ticket prices. And this income doesn't even offset the expenses 3.4 million visitors per year bring to our city in terms of roads, traffic regulation, litter, crime.
Yeah, infrastructure, yeah.
The only reason the city makes any money at all is from parking fees. Property taxes are negligible since the property was last sold in the 1930s. Would you work to see that the Seaside Company pays sufficient revenue to the city to not only pay for its cost, but actually to provide some kind of revenue to the stream into the city proportional to its impact?
Well, see, I may not be real popular for this, but I support, since the city is in such financial straits, I support a sales tax period on everything, everybody, one penny on a dollar. And I think even as a poor person, I can afford, even if I spend $100, I only have to spend a dollar in taxes. So that, to me, would help the city of Santa Cruz. I think that that companies like Costco and Seaside Company, I think all companies, all businesses should pay a dollar, a penny on the dollar.
attacks, just as Santa Cruz. But if you make a certain, above a certain threshold in your income, then you might have to pay 2 cents on the dollar or 3 cents on the dollar.
We have I would
go for something like that for Seaside and Costco so that they start paying their.
We have a caller, and I'd also like to know about whether you favor a real estate speculation tax for profiteering there. But anyway, caller, you have a question for Simba?
Yeah, I'll throw it at the end. I'm going to talk fast because I'd like to say all the questions that I were thinking about asking.
Uh-huh,
she's already gotten to Becky. She's doing a great job.
Uh-huh.
And that taxing is interesting because I know that they keep slipping in those, like, off-election, like there was a phone one recently and a sales one.
Ask your question. We only got about seven minutes left, Colin.
Yeah, we do the election taxes with those little, you know, dings, and what are you going to do about that? But mostly what I'm interested in is what are you going to do about staff? Because if you get elected, you're going to have to figure out how to get around them.
By staff, you mean the infection that plagues us, being the city council, the city manager, the
corrupt... Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by staff.
Yeah, I think you mean by staff.
Well, staff infection, maybe.
If you've ever seen that TV series, Yes, Minister, and if you haven't, you should...
No, I haven't.
The bureaucracy people, the people
the
on
really
the table,
the
they always have to turn to you at the meeting and go... Can we do that? Is it legal? And they give you the nod.
Because
that's who you're going to have to really deal with. And so I can take my answer off the air, but I just wanted to get that
Thanks,
in there.
Gary.
What are you going to do about staff?
And that's a very realistic question the caller's asked.
Yeah, and I have had years and years of conflict resolution training and coalition building, and I actually know how to do that. And I feel like I could do that on the city council. Is to make allies, to make things so that we're allies instead of fighting against each other, that we actually find something common. That's why I named my campaign Beyond Politics, because I would like for us to learn how to get beyond politics and learn and find out what we agree on, not what we don't agree on, but to start finding things that we do agree on. So I think working with staff wouldn't be that hard for me, because for one thing, I don't capitulate very often. I don't back up from things that I really feel strongly about. So I think doing that and having that in front of them might help them make decisions, or might make them a little more amenable to what we need to have done.
So you might have the stamina to and the fortitude to get
past
that.
Yeah, and the knowledge. I actually know how to create allies, because it's something we have to do as an African-American person in order to make this revolution we need. We have to make allies,
mm-hmm.
So it's something like, like the Peace and Freedom Party was the arm of the Black Panther Party, So, what? Do you have another one?
I've got tons. Benches removed from in front of the vets hall and in front of borders without public hearings. It's also in violation of Parks and Rec.
We have
Parks
to, we have to interrupt this torrent of questions, which I think is important, by the way. And I invite somebody to return to kind of, do part two of this, because I think,
So how did you think I did?
You'll hear about that with part two. But Simba, I want to say that one of the problems, of course, is you're competing with the vice presidential, debate. So if you want to come in again on Sunday or next Thursday and to continue this and actually perhaps get more calls, I know Jay Cabrera may be in the studio. Perhaps the two of you could, talk about both issues.
Well,
so consider
I'll think about it.
I should warn you, I may throw in a question or two, ambushing you, or possibly just giving it to you directly without an ambush.
Okay, that would be a change.
Oh,
huh?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm pretty straightforward in my question.
Well, and I thank you guys for having me on, because it's because of not having publicly financed elections, I could use all the exposure I can get. And, one day we're going to have the next election we have will be publicly financed. One way or the other, if I have to throw fire at people and shit, we're going to have publicly financed.
Well, and remember tomorrow, that if the House votes against this, in favor of the $700 billion bailout, general strike is what we need downtown. Let's keep that in mind. Thank you, Simba Kenyatta.
Sure.
And again,
Thank you for having me.
Simba's website again is?
Beyond Politics Santa Cruz. That's politics is S in the S of Santa Cruz. There's two S's there. .com.
.com. Thanks,
Simba. And my email is skenyatta@cruzio.com.
That's K-N.
KENYATTA.
Right.
Shut up.
All right. I want to thank Becky.
Quiet.
With the rest of the council, they don't answer anything either.
I want to thank Becky Johnson also for coming in the studio. Becky, thank you.
Thank you, Becky.
And thank you for inviting me.
And Whitney Wild, who will be chalking tomorrow on the sidewalk at 5 o'clock in the rain, probably.
Oh, yeah.
No rain.
No rain.
Did you make this deal, or do you just have knowledge we don't know, or what?
It's not raining.
Okay.
It's not going to rain.
So you can also check out Whitney, and I guess you may be at the Human Rights Organization on Saturday. I'm not sure if you're going to that one.
Yeah, I'll
that's
that.
2 o'clock. 2 o'clock at the Taqueria Vallarta, Cathcart and Pacific. Come on down. That's concerned with the kind of issues we've been talking about today. I'll be back on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning with another edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Thanks for being with me. And if you want to get in touch with me off air with police abuse discussions or if you have reports of any problems, 423-4833 is the number to call. Thanks again for being, well, or even if you're not there, I'll thank you anyway. You can listen to this perhaps when we play it as an archive. Thanks again.
This is Skidmark Bob. I'm out here at the...
California, a university and beach town, one of America's most liberal cities, now has...
Well, that's not entirely true. Let's hear a little more music, and coming up soon, it's Uncle Dennis from the Cream to the Dregs. Stay tuned.
causes raises a question: who was it? Plan, ecocide, genocide. Where is home? 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 We'll be right back.
And welcome to From the Cream to the Dregs. My name is Uncle Dennis, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1. And we are, as always, still available on the web at www.freakradio.org. We're going to be playing music from the 60s and 70s up until 11 o'clock. We will, of course, open up our Brew of the Week in about 20 minutes. And then at 9 o'clock, the Earth First Update Environmental News segment. And then, of course, at 10 o'clock, we will have the group Spotlight Group of the Week. We will play one album or one group for that entire hour. That way you get better acquainted with some of the artists from the past. So, anyway, that's it. From the Cream to the Dreg continues. Let's tune into an old favorite of folks here in the Bay Area from back in the day. Still touring, I might add, Elvin Bishop.
In the bed next to me, and guess what? I was all alone crying, baby, please. Baby, please come back to me. Set me free.